It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Game is no game.
You were listening, you were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. If you want to call in, because a lot of you on Twitter and Instagram wanted to yell at me, feel free. I deserve it. I was wrong about the Red Sox, so, I mean, you have a captive audience. I know not many people are awake right now, but...
a lot of people have today off, although we're getting a lot of tweets from people who are saying, nope, working today.
Yeah, because we're all part of this collective that lives miserable lives that have to, where we have to get up this early. Again, we are all part of this collective.
Imagine having to work downtown today. I mean, you have to go in. You work at the Pru, you work somewhere downtown, and, you know, all these streets are closed, and it just, another added layer to Monday morning. It's just like, oh man, I don't want to be here. And then all of a sudden you have to go like a mile out of your way, city blocks and stops at red lights, and can't get to where you normally get to. Not fun.
Rich told you is that we got dropped off. We were, you know, probably our fourth year in town, and we got dropped off by Fenway.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't realize that if you were dropped off on the wrong side of the road, that... And everyone was so helpful about telling us. And how many people told us, Rich, that you can't get there? Like, people were like, you can't get there. Like, you cannot get to where you want to go.
Yeah, like, it's not possible unless you want to walk for another hour, which basically Fred and I had to do. I mean, you got to go down to the Common. You can't cross anywhere else to get it. We were just trying to get over to, we weren't even trying to get on the other side of Boylston. We were just trying to get to, I think it was Newberry at the time, but because the path went through Kenmore Square and then under that bridge, there was no way of possibly crossing over. So it's definitely a pain in the ass to get around today. There's no doubt.
Yeah, if you're working like in a building downtown that's not like a restaurant, and they're making you go in, it's calling sick. I mean, really. I can't even imagine that happening because no one's going back to work.
So, Fred, where I used to live, I was, you know, right where, you know, the Vox used to be, you know, right there next to Abe and Louie's. I was in that building. But the parking deck that I had to park in was on the other side of Boylston Street.
Oh, that's
right. So what I used to have to do is I used to have to park in that parking deck, and I'm literally looking at my building. I could throw a rock at my building, but I can't cross Boylston. So I remember I used to get one of those rent-a-bike things, you know, those little stations, the blue bikes.
Yeah.
They weren't blue bikes at the time. And I would rent one, and I would ride it all the way down to where Boston Common was and have to zoop it all the way back. Mm-hmm. And then I would have to bring the rent-a-bike into my building and just, you know, wait till everyone cleared out so I could go and return it to its dock.
Well, that was like Rucker. He was like, I brought my bike to work. Don't worry about it. Rode it in from Winchester. It's my big day on the bicycle. Don't worry about it.
Dude, it's therapeutic. It's therapeutic.
Making things happen.
Yeah. So it's going to be, at least the weather's going to be nice. At least that they're not going to get, you know, rained on or anything cruddy like that. And it's good for pre-gaming for the Red Sox game because most of the people, you know, they usually take the barriers down for the most part, what, around like 5:30.
I can tell you
is usually when they start to be a little bit looser with letting people pass.
Well, here's the deal: is that like if you take off at like 10 or 11, and it gets to be like 4,
I think the last group I think the last group leaves. I think around 11:30, and seeing that it takes some people upwards of like, you know, 5.5 hours,
not longer
to get. Well, yeah, I mean you're right. Like 5.5 is probably most likely, and there, you know there are 6 hours.
I mean, living where I do out in Natick, obviously the marathon goes right through downtown. They close things from I think 7:30 to 3:30. So at 3:30, you see the barriers start to come down, and a lot of people who don't hang around until the end don't know this. But I'm walking back. You have a truck that's picking up the barriers behind who they think the last marathon runner is. But even though you have the truck cleaning things up, you still have people that are trying to walk and trying to walk in the middle of the street because, oh, no, I'm still running. No, you're not. It's time.
All right, I do want to discuss this because I just thought of it, and it was on Friday. All right, so I'm taking my comeuppance on social media, and I should be. When I'm wrong, and I know I'm wrong, I have no problem with it. You were right. I was wrong. That's fine. But Rich and I finally found the strangest people on the planet, perhaps. Which was, we did a bit on Friday where our music that we played were the worst rap verses of all time.
Sure.
And I contend in that, what is the name of the song? 1 Week? What is the name of the bare naked lady?
Week.
It's called 1 Week, where he goes chicken to China, Chinese chicken.
Yeah.
And Rich had been, every time he says that we make fun of that song, which is one of the most cringe-inducing things in the history of the planet
when
he raps.
I've said it's the worst song ever written.
Yeah. And like the rest of the song is whatever. Just him rapping is inexcusable.
Yeah.
So now this person is coming under different aliases, because I cannot imagine it's the same. It's different people.
Well, there's this one guy who I went back through his timeline, and he's contacted us over the last like 3 years every time we've mentioned the Bare Naked Ladies. And he's like, Bare Naked Ladies are a good band, okay? They're awesome. He's like, the Bare Naked Ladies Defender. So Fred, we talk about him on Friday. We rip on that riff.
So he sends me this article. He or she sends me this article and says, hey, you have to apologize. You have to apologize to the Bare Naked Ladies. Which is in itself...
No. Oh, no. I think people have suffered enough.
And so he sends this article. I go, all right, I'll read the article. Because this guy has said he freestyled that. And to that I said, there's absolutely no way he freestyled that. What to you, John, is a freestyle?
A guy who makes up words while he's standing there.
Okay. What is a writing process?
You sit down beforehand, jot things down on a piece of paper or online.
Okay.
Yes.
So this guy goes, this proves he freestyled. Apparently this moron got into, went and they had a camcorder on him, and he did like 20 minutes of rhyming. Then they looked at it, transcribed the ones they thought were the best, and then he recorded them for the song.
And then moved it around and arranged it in a way that everything would fit together.
So that is called writing.
Sure.
So listen, if I'm writing a song, I come up with the words in my head and write them down and then go back over it and rearrange them.
Sure.
How is that not writing?
It is writing.
And then why are you telling the Bare Naked Ladies on us?
Well, okay, telling the Bare Naked Ladies on us. So he tweets at the guy, Stephen Page, and he goes, hey, Stephen Page, does it bother you that the biggest radio station in Boston is broadcasting hate and lies about you and Bare Naked Ladies?
Hate.
On the same frequency that Mix 98.5 used to be on, no less. What? Fred Tutcher calling you the heroin guy makes me mad, and he isolated on his own SoundCloud account our break talking about it.
He's the heroin guy, right? He got kicked out of the band for heroin.
I think it was cocaine. It may not have been heroin.
Okay.
It was cocaine.
All right. Okay. He got kicked out of the band for drugs.
Stephen Page actually contacted him back and said, that's a shame. They seem like guys I'd like to be friends with.
Yeah, like...
What? Like, listen to that and goes, I want to go to that
and
guy's
so,
house.
And so... And
yeah,
so
like, wait.
Bare Naked Ladies. Like,
this is hate now?
I guess so.
This is... Hate. This is hate.
Yep.
Saying that is the word that it. And first of all, he's not even the one who rapped. Apparently,
yeah. I guess not.
So he's
Ed. Ed's the one who rapped.
Yes.
So then that guy wrote back to Stephen Page after he made that very funny comment. He goes, I mean, not liking the band is one thing, though the fact that they are 45-year-olds with a high school mentality about making fun of bands considered uncool is pretty rank. But the blatant untruths and stuff bordering on slander is crossing the line. F them, he says. There you go. So even though Stephen Page thought it was actually pretty funny.
Yeah, he probably doesn't like the rap any more than anyone else does.
Having to do it night after night after night.
He went on us to the Bare Naked Ladies guy.
This hate. Oh, my God. This world has gone crazy. The hate. Because then immediately, if you're like, people are saying, are spreading hate about you, I think they're like attacking my like lineage, my family, sure. Like these personal things about me. Mm-hmm. I mean, my Lord. Now you've upset the guy. If you're such a big Bare Naked Ladies fan, now you've upset the guy. So anyway, just know out there, there's this staunch defender of the Bare Naked Ladies.
He listens to the show a lot. I'll give him that much. I mean, because every time we mention Bare Naked Ladies, which is not a lot, he's there and he's on top of it.
Well, I got an email on Saturday from a guy who said, I listened to the first break you guys did on Friday. And where you were making fun of podcasts, and it's the worst break I've ever heard. Apologize to me or I'm contacting your advertisers.
These guys stink.
Okay. Look, what are you going to say to the advertisers? They did a break that I didn't find interesting? Well, we have to rethink the whole marketing plan. I mean, these guys. People are out of their minds. Goes back to that article you read about. The guy was mad that Garrett Cole was getting made fun of.
With a Kermit puppet.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Do we have somebody on hold? All right. Well, awesome. You want to talk to her real quick? Sorry. I just wanted to check in with Mary. She texted and said she was getting ready and she's about to walk out the door. Just wanted to wish her good luck.
All right. No problem with that. Mary, hello.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to your Bare Naked Lady.
I'm sorry. Please don't contact the band, Mary.
I won't. I'm trying to even remember, like, what their song was.
Chicken to China? The Chinese
You know
chicken?
The song.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I know. Yeah. I know.
Hey, by the way,
it was like
all right, stop that.
Stop it. I
know you're running for Dana Farber, but if you could at least wear something exalting the Bare Naked Ladies as well, it would be... It would be, I think,
just BNL on your bib or something.
It would be very healing for the community.
Okay, all right. I'll put like a BNL like little thing on my jersey.
Sure. All right. Yeah. So, are you nervous? You've done this before, but this is Rich tells me that you have been out of your mind with this training. It looks like this is going to be a nice day. How are you feeling right now?
Yeah, I'm super nervous. So even though, like, yeah, I've done all the training, I kind of, like, almost, like, went overboard with the training because I'm like, all right, this is something I can try to do because you can't control the weather. So I'm like, I can control the training aspect, but I'm still super nervous. Like, I'm excited too. It's like this, it's a weird, like, giant bundle of emotions for sure. So I think Rich and the guys are coming out to meet me at one point. I have some friends along the course. So I think that'll like help get me through. And everybody like donating has been just like amazing. So that's just been the thing also getting me through. So yes, like all the donations have just been incredible.
Well, yesterday, Mary and I were driving. We drove the course, and at one point, we're like, oh, yeah, that's the part where Wallach actually took her socks and put them in the dryer across the street.
Yeah, he put them in the dryer. Uh-huh. He put them in a Ziploc bag.
Warm like snuffleupagus.
Oh, my God.
That's a pretty penny for those.
Right. So slightly better weather this time around, right, Mary, than last time?
Yeah. It's raining a little bit now, I guess. Like
it's supposed to stop.
Where I am, but it's supposed to stop. It's supposed to stop.
All right. So when do you get to that statue in Newton? Because I can go to the statue in Newton. When will you get there?
You know, I'll probably get there probably about 3 hours and 15 minutes, like after I start.
Okay.
And I start like around 10:30, 11. It just depends on.
Well, I can bring Zoe out there. I will.
There you go.
I think I will do that.
I would love to see her. That would be awesome.
Well, we are all obviously very excited for you. We are very confident in you. We know how hard you've trained, and I think the nerves are a good thing. It shows that you get that adrenaline. Control it, though. Don't pick up the pace too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who has run many 5Ks,
right.
I can tell you that it's very important.
We know you want to win this thing, Mary, but you got to stay within yourself.
Oh, my God. I know, right? Like, that's my goal, is to win.
Well,
no,
listen, toenails are temporary. Pride is forever.
Don't make Rich look at your feet for at least a couple weeks.
Bring an extra pair of socks to the finish line, perhaps.
All right, so for one final time, people can get in their donations. And so, Rich, where can people do this? It's Mary is running, of course, Dana-Farber. Dana-Farber saved her life quite literally. Maybe if there was no Dana-Farber, things would have been different. So this is very important to all of us. Not because we all love Mary and all love Rich. This is very important to all of us. So, Rich, how can one donate?
Well, you can donate. You can go to @TutcherAndRich. It's the link at the very top of our Twitter account. Also, our Facebook page as well. And Mary, would you like to make any last minute plugs for the people who have helped us raise $75,000 to Dana-Farber so far up to this point? Anything else you'd like to add before you take off?
No, thank you, everybody. And I'm telling you, like, every, like, even $5, $10, like, all these things really do add up. And anytime I see the little email pop up, because every time somebody donates, I get this little email that says the person's name, says, like, their amount. Like, I am happy with anything that anybody donates. I'm just, like, blown away. And it really blows me away, too. It's cool to see it from my friends and family, but it's, like, it's almost even cooler to see it from somebody I don't know. And just seeing that name, just going, that's really cool. So thank you all. Like, it really means a lot. It makes all this weird, like, eating goo stuff and all this other stuff, like, worth it. So
you got to bring a lot of goo. That's the first thing.
She's got a lot of it. It was great. We were, like, the other day. Well, first of all, everyone on the show has been very generous. Thank you to all you guys. I know all of you donated.
Thank you all.
Way to keep track and make us feel bad if we had him. But go ahead.
We got one the other day where Mary's flipping through. It's like, look at these people. I don't even know some of these people. So this is Jonathan Marchand. I went, Bird! All right, Bird!
Yeah.
Even Bird tossed a little bit out there. Good for him. And it was like some random number. It was like, you know, something in $3. Which is, it's almost like he reached in his pocket and said, I'll just donate this.
Yeah. Which is great. Well, it was how much he had left on his credit card. All right. Well, Mary, listen, we are all rooting for you and are more than that, very, very confident and can't wait for you to succeed and reach this goal of yours. And you're doing a great thing for Dana-Farber. And we really are, truly. I know I'm a very cynical person, but I am telling you that we are really all rooting for you and couldn't be prouder of you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. It means a lot. I really appreciate it.
Get them.
Good luck, Mary.
Good luck, Mary.
See you in a couple hours. Go get them.
All right. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Mary Schoenlieb. Good for her.
Awesome. It wasn't easy. She wasn't ever a runner. Like, she didn't do this.
And, no, it's never easy.
So, you know, she's worked her way up. And as I was telling Fred, I mean, she has, like, for the last 6 months, this has been her goal. This has been it.
So, like, Mary's, like, I'm like, all right, Mary, my wife is meeting a friend out for dinner at Abe and Louie's tonight, who just, like, runs marathons, like, every day.
Yeah.
And she's like, all I want afterwards is just a steak and, like, a bottle of red wine.
Like, this is nothing. This is a walk in the park.
Can you imagine running 26 miles and then having a nice bottle of red wine?
Right. Can you imagine running 26 miles and not dying immediately?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that red wine would just go, oh, hi, this has been fun in your body. This is coming out the exact way it came in. But that's awesome. So very much looking forward to her completing it. And I have no doubt she will.
Yep.
No doubt she will this year.
And thanks to everyone for the donations. We really appreciate it. Dana-Farber really appreciates
it. That's absolutely true. All right. So we'll be back. We're going to talk to Alex Barth. I heard him on the pregame. His thoughts on Mac Jones. I wonder if his thoughts on Mac Jones has changed a little bit after yesterday. We will talk to him about that.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
Center. Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go,
yeah.
And like, oh yeah. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
From the 27th, the snap to Mills.
There you go.
Puts up the middle and sacked on the play.
Collins.
Jamie Collins beginning his third stint for the Patriots and devouring Davis Mills on the rush up the gut.
Doubtful.
The snap and the placement. Swing to the right leg. The kick. Airborne to the uprights is good. And the Patriots have the lead with 15 seconds to go.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. As you know, I am not a fan of the Patriots. I was watching the game yesterday with a bunch of Patriot fans who were beside themselves, rightfully, for the majority of the game. And I have to say, they had to win that game. The thought of doing the fall in covering this team and this team being 1-4, having lost to Houston and then having to play Dallas next week, would have been painful.
Well, you can kind of make excuses for the losses that they've had so far. I mean, absolutely with Tampa Bay. The first one was like, well, it's their first game. The Saints was, they're looking ahead to the Tampa Bay game. But if they would have lost that one, it would have been like, well, this team just sucks.
And they played terribly.
Well, the offense, I thought, played fine. I'm not going to rip on the offense because I think that they put together a decent game.
That leads me to Alex Barth. He covers the Patriots for 98.5 thesportshub.com. He joins us now on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. All right, Alex, I heard you in the pregame talking about Mac Jones and, you know, his limitations and, you know, but also, you know, how steady he is. What was your impression of the offense yesterday?
I was impressed. I mean, granted, part of that is they were playing with four new offensive linemen, but that was the only group that played well yesterday, was up front. Everybody else struggled. So to have the success they did, given the offensive line, they can't necessarily play that way every week and be okay. But given the circumstances, I was impressed.
All right, Alex, yeah, they can't play that way ever again. I don't know if there's another coach in the NFL that's going to give away a game like the Texans did yesterday. I mean, I wanted the Patriots to win. They gave them that game.
I mean, to an extent, yeah, there were some bad decisions at the end, but it's a whole 60-minute game. You can't just look at the one mistake.
They tried to kick a field goal on 4th-and-2 when they're on the Patriots side of the field. They could have punted. They should have gone for it.
I also forgot about the bad timeouts that Dave Culley it's horrible usage of timeouts
left at the end of the game.
I'm not just talking about the punt. Punts happen.
It was, I can't think of a coaching debacle on the other side that was just as egregious as this one in a while. It's been a long time. Maybe that that Chargers game a couple of years ago. Do you remember that one where there were some head scratchers in that? I don't know, but I'm with you as far as the offense is concerned, but the defense has got to leave you with your... I mean, we talked about Devin McCourty, how his ankles were broken a few times. The way that they made Davis Mills look like he was a superstar.
And the timing of it after trading Gilmore away and seeing that we'll ask you this. Is J.C. Jackson, is he capable of being a number one corner?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about a unit getting bailed out by those decisions, it was more the defense than the offense. They had a rough day, and J.C. Jackson had a rough day, and he didn't look like a number one corner yesterday. It's not like he's out there getting beat by a top five receiver. These are guys that just got called up from the practice squad. So it was puzzling to see the effort they had against Tampa, and right, because that's just an unbelievable offense. And then Houston puts up more points with them than Tampa did. So yeah, there were certainly some red flags for them defensively. And I would say J.C. Jackson was a part of that.
Can you take a look at, I want to go quickly back to that offensive line, because that's such a, that's such an interesting story. And we were talking about, if you would have seen the score of yesterday's game without knowing what happened, you would have thought, well, of course this happened because, you know, Mac Jones was under duress the entire time. But that wasn't the case at all. I think he had been hit 40 times in the previous four games, and yesterday they only got to him four times. What did they do right that the other guys just continued to do wrong this entire season?
So it's funny. The one thing they did right is that I think the biggest thing me and a lot of people were worried about, and that was the communication. They just all seemed to be on the same page. They were picking up the blitz, I thought, relatively well. There were some mistakes, but there was bound to be with that group. But then they also got a great performance, I thought, from Yadni Kajus. I really only noticed one time where he got beat bad, and it was that play Mac ends up rolling out, and I think he threw the ball away. But they haven't gotten that kind of play from the right tackle spot consistently this year, and I thought Yadni had it. He's a guy they should consider giving snaps moving forward here at least one more week based on how he played. I think he deserved another shot. So I thought they were communicating better. I thought they were moving better. And then I just think Kajus held his own.
All right. We talked about pass blocking, and rightfully so. The run blocking to me was much more impressive, because there have been games like Tampa, for example, where there was no running game, and they were able to run the football. And I have to answer that question. Tell me which running back is going to carry the football next week, since both have been benched for fumbles at one point or another.
So, yeah, the run blocking was good. I thought James Ferentz had a great game, and you know, that he's been a reliable guy for them. I will say part of it, you know, the last two games, Tampa and New Orleans are two of the best run defenses in the league. And Houston's down there, I think they were 28th against the run entering yesterday's game. So that plays a part of it as well. But, yeah, they were better blocking for the run. In terms of the running backs, I think they're going to default back to Damian Harris just because he's the veteran of this group right now. But I don't know how they haven't brought another back in. Because even if they trust, even if they truly still trust Stevenson and Taylor, just bodies-wise, they don't have enough, especially for that third down role. I mean, we saw Brandon Bolden get blown up in pass protection again yesterday. They need another guy for that role. They need another veteran for that role. I'm genuinely surprised they haven't brought one in since James White got hurt.
What did you think of the fumble call on the it would be touchdown by Harris?
I never saw, based on what they showed on TV, I never saw a definitive angle. And it was close, but you have to have that unquestionable angle to overturn it. I didn't see that. It was a great punch out by that defender because Harris did have two hands on the ball. But I never saw an angle that told me definitively that that was a fumble.
I think that's a touchdown. I hate that.
Yeah, the inconclusive.
I hate that rule.
That's just one of those that, I mean, what about the whole bake sale they're going to have for the pylon cams where you'd be able to see that definitively? I guess that they just don't.
Well, they had one shot along the goal line, and it was blocked.
But you couldn't tell. But what about, was there, I mean, I don't know if they have a camera that we're not seeing, because I'm with you, Alex. There's nothing that you could see from any angle that showed definitively that that should have been overturned.
I mean, the one they have in hockey, I think, is great, where they have that one literally hanging from the roof above the goal. I don't know if you could do that in football, but if they could put one, like, on the top of the goalpost or something.
They can
like
do whatever that. They want. They got billions of dollars.
I was just going to say.
Put the cameras in the line itself.
Technology will be fun. Put a computer chip in the ball. You got to figure
that's
something
the other one, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Alex, I heard you talking. I'm on the same page as you. Mac Jones is very consistent. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He got... he was fortunate a couple times. He could have thrown a couple more picks that day, but whatever. Well, it's not nitpick. What do you think of the way they're using him?
I think it's about right. I think the offense they kind of ran when they get their backs pushed against the wall, and that not necessarily like up against the wall like late in the game have to score. I mean, when they get into 2 minute, when they get into hurry up, I think that's the best version of Mac Jones. I wish they would do some of that more, right? That I think they're better in hurry up. I think when they go four wide, five wide, I think when they get Kendrick Bourne involved, when they get the tight ends involved, like that's the offense I expected to see for most of the season, not just in hurry up situations. So I do think they're bringing him along. I do think they're kind of trying to set things up for him. I do think that they're making a point now to protect him, given some of the offensive line issues. Again, you don't want to bang this guy up too much in his first year and then derail his development. I still think that there's some, and I know they've said that they're not holding anything back. I still think that there's some, maybe they're not totally holding back, but again, plays they're calling selectively. Like that tight end throw to Hunter Henry. Mm-hmm. That where was that the first 4 weeks, right? Like tight ends in the red zone, what a concept. So I think it's there. It's just consistency right now. I know you said he looks consistent, and he does, but I think that there's opportunities now for him to kind of be more aggressive consistently, and that's the next step. And we saw flashes of it in that game. We saw flashes of it against Tampa, but that's the next box he has to check here moving forward.
Well, I mean, even if you watch Davis Mills yesterday, if you watch any of the other rookie quarterbacks, they're asked to do so much more. And I mean, I guess it's based on the quality of team they're on, but I mean, it's almost unfair. I mean, these other quarterbacks are asked to chuck it all over the place.
Although, in fairness, last week with no running game, he was basically asked to do everything.
Yeah, but he's still not taking big shots downfield. Yeah,
well, the one he took got dropped.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's unfortunate. That would have been a touchdown.
Well, if you want to go by drops, I got a team you can watch. But believe me, if you want to see the great Corey Davis drop 15 balls a game, you can go ahead and do that. But all right. Scott, when I was listening to the game in the beginning, Zolak was all over the tight end's inability to block. Did that get corrected as over the course of the game?
I mean, it looked like they just moved him out and kind of used the offensive line. I didn't see too many situations where they were in key. I think Hunter Henry did have a key block actually late in that game, but they got creative with pulling guards and this and that. I'll have to go back and watch it today and keep a closer eye on that, but I didn't see any egregious missed blocks by the tight ends late in the game, but they weren't really in position to.
Well, Scott was in no mood when I was listening to it. I mean, it was the beginning of the game. I mean, you go down the field and you have the longest drive in 10 years for an organization. That's not exactly great. But listen, a win is a win is a win. And yeah. You go into you get Dallas
here.
Yeah, I know you get Dallas here. It seems they never play on the road. They get Dallas here, then they get the Jets here.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that all ends up working out. But at least they're not 1-4 going into this Dallas game. That would be a disaster. So at least there is a little bit of hope. So that's good. All right, Alex. You can read all the stuff at the 98.5thesportshub.com. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, appreciate it.
You know what's funny? Something I didn't realize this morning. One of the best plays of the game was near the end where Jamie Collins just ran right through and absolutely destroyed Davis Mills. And I was sitting there watching that going, wow, okay, I forgot Jamie Collins is playing. Well, wish we could see more of that. That was fantastic. And then I obviously read this morning, he had 3 snaps yesterday.
Yeah, six snaps on special teams, three snaps on defense, one of which was a sack.
Yeah, they
got a lot of issues.
No, but that was, I mean, you know, for if you're only in there for basically 3 defensive plays and one of them you do that, all right, not too bad.
We shall see. He wasn't good enough to play for the Lions, but then again, Bill Belichick doesn't cry after games. So who knows how he was being used in Detroit.
Fred, don't you dare knock him for crying. Have you ever cared about something as much as Dan Campbell does?
Man wears his heart on his sleeve. Yes. You can't bang him for that.
Yes, I have. And I didn't sit there crying about it.
Fred, there's a certain movie in theaters that's made about Dan Campbell, Cry Macho. That's what he was doing.
I don't know how you can sit up there and cry. I mean, have some perspective, man.
He's pouring his heart and his soul into this job after every workout.
Well, you know what's funny?
Maybe win one of these games that you lose by a field goal.
How many have there been? Is it 4 or 3?
I know there was Baltimore where they hit the 68-yarder. Then there was yesterday.
And there's one more, too. So there's at least 3 that it was a field goal away from them winning.
Yeah.
Well, I got two. I got two.
I thought there was a third one.
Baltimore, and yesterday they lost to the Bears by 10. Yeah, they got blown up by the Packers. They lost by 8 to the 49ers.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'll tell you this, is that at least there's no quarterbacks coming out. All right. That Spencer Rattler's a real star. All right. We'll be right back here at the headline.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield. Field.
Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Go ahead.
Look at this text I just got from my wife, Red.
BNL, baby. Bare Naked Ladies.
My wife has written it on her singlet that she's running in.
Oh, nice. That was nice of me.
Shout out to the Bare Naked Ladies. Yeah. That's right. She texted me, said she's adding 1 week to the playlist to inspire her.
Should just be 1 week. Just one step at a time, 1 week at a time, man.
Maybe that will appease the Bare Naked Ladies super fan who writes us every single time we make fun of
it.
Scooby-dooby-doo, I'm really crazy.
This guy, I was in the bathroom reading some tweets. I love hearing a butthurt Fred every day after a Patriots game where he projects his crappy-ass Jets disappointment all over everything. I was rooting for the Patriots yesterday. I cannot make that clear enough. I was very happy they won that game. That would not be any fun doing this radio show during a fall where they were that bad.
No, you got it. You know, there's games where you can have moral victories, and there's games where you can make excuses for why they didn't win. There's no excuse if you would have lost that team yesterday. So when they pulled it out, it's one of those where it's like, just get the hell out of Texas and come back home and just forget that game ever happened and be proud of the one thing notch in the W column.
And it's funny, I watched the game with probably about 30 Patriots fans, and like none of them were happy.
Well, Fred, I am waiting for a game because it's been 2 seasons since you could feel great about a Patriots win. Yeah. I think maybe... Was it the first game of last season with Cam Newton? I forget. Was it the first game of the...
That was against Miami, the first game of last season.
Okay, that might have been the first game Miami? Where you actually felt Miami. Good about a win that the Patriots have come on the other side with. All right, I want to feel great about a win, and obviously yesterday is not the game.
Let's go to Ari. Ari, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? Big Pats fan. It's wretched. We suck. It took 4 field goals to beat the Jets. It took a field goal to sneak by the Texans. You couldn't beat the Dolphins. The Saints, you just got your ass handed to you. And, you know, I'll be honest, this has nothing to do with Brady. I think the best team game that we've played on both ends of the ball was against Tampa Bay.
No
and even
question.
Then, you could only score 17 points.
Yeah, there's no question.
But is there a future for this team this year? Do we have any possibility? Because we suck.
Well, they certainly don't look like a playoff team. And thank you for calling in, because I don't know why in my personal life, no one after that game was like, oh, this is, wow, this team's really cooking. And then the people that listen to this show are like, you don't like the way they played? No, they played terribly. The coach of the Texans
should be fired this morning.
Okay, outside.
And he would be if there was anyone else who wanted the job.
Let me ask you guys this. Outside of Tampa Bay, which I thought the defense did an excellent job. I mean, they really couldn't have done it any better. But outside of that game, at what point do you start questioning Steve Belichick?
Well, that's a big thing, is that, and there was a lot of that, is that your defense, your front seven, was supposed to be very, very good.
A strength of this team.
And you have two of his sons that are involved in the defense, and their defense is playing terribly. They played terribly yesterday.
There's a difference between playing terribly and playing irresponsibly, having Davis 10 men on the field in one game, having 12 men on the field in another game.
Davis Mills' passer rating yesterday was 141.7. Davis Mills.
Yeah, a guy who the week before was an absolute disaster. I think he had four picks the week before.
He might have had the best game that a rookie's had this year. Davis Mills in that game. That might be the best a rookie quarterback has played this year.
Maybe. Yeah, you may be right.
I mean, he was throwing the ball downfield. He was making plays on third down.
He was calm. Didn't matter about the pass rush because he knew it wasn't going to get to him for the most part.
So I don't know what planet. I don't know why. I know 30 guys that watched that game and were disgusted.
Yeah.
And then we get on the air and all of a sudden you're a hater.
No, it's one guy. I think most people feel the way
I would assume so. Yeah. I would assume if you watched that game from the very beginning, you would have said, what the hell's going on? And then you would have said, this coach from the Texans is making these awful decisions that are costing him the game.
Yeah, and Fred, I mean, when you take a look at how this defense has not only just been embarrassing in many cases, I mean, yesterday was really just a new level of sad. But when you see that these guys don't seem ready on any given week, except for Tampa Bay, because I honestly think that it's true. They were circled that date on the calendar, and
Rich,
they had a
plan. They were a 7-point dog. They hung in that game. It was a missed field. They were a doink away from winning that game.
And they held back the best quarterback of all time from being the best quarterback of all time.
None of us came. No, I don't think anyone at this radio station, to my knowledge, came in the day after the Tampa Bay game and insulted the Patriots.
But how can you come a week after that, after doing what you did, and lay an egg against Davis Mills? And then when you take a look at the rest of the season, you see just an amazing unpatriot-like level of undiscipline. Like, I mean, just the 10 men on the field and the 12 men on the field is something that you just didn't see in a Patriots season.
John, look up passer ratings, the best passer ratings this year in the NFL.
Okay.
And I bet you Davis Mills is near the top for that game against the Patriots. Davis effing Mills.
Yeah.
But had the best. I think I'm positive that's the best passer rating that a rookie quarterback's had this season.
Well, I can't think of a game that Trevor Lawrence had that was better. I can't think of one that Zach Wilson had that was
better.
Zach
Wilson has had a half. He's never put together a game. Never had a good first half.
Davis Mills overall, I think, is fourth from the bottom in the league. Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are behind
him. I'm talking about that game.
I know for one game. I'm just saying in general, this is what you're looking at.
Well, Mills shouldn't have played
yesterday.
Well,
including yesterday, Mills has a seasonal passer rating of 78.
Right.
Yeah. That's including yesterday.
Yeah. It just shows how bad he is.
Just goes to show you.
Yep.
I mean, you let this kid, he looked like the real deal. He looked like Justin Herbert out there.
The only guys behind him are Tua, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson.
How funny is that? Wow.
So
and that's after yesterday.
So there you go. That's the guy that you let throw all over you. And by the way, with weapons like Moore, Johnson, Conley.
Moore, I think, was raised from the practice squad, or it was Conley that was called up from the practice squad. And don't forget, the next 3 weeks, you have next 5 weeks, you have Dak Prescott, you have Herbert, who looked pretty damn good yesterday from what I saw.
He is the best ticket in town, man. He's one of the most fun players in the NFL to watch
right now. And you can say what you want about Baker Mayfield. Cleveland scoring points. You have to play them. And by the way, your biggest weakness is against a run game. Cleveland's pretty good at running the football. So you have those three teams waiting for you in the next 5 weeks.
I just say keep an eye on what Steve Belichick is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is now one of those times where you have to start holding him accountable, especially after what you saw yesterday. Now it's kind of like, all right, the shine's off a little bit here. And I think that you just need to, you've got to see something from that secondary, because yesterday was just an utter embarrassment. And whether you got to move guys around or you got to involve Jamie Collins more, I know they just got him, and hopefully that'll help.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about taking a retread from the Lions, who they couldn't even trade, and popping him in there, and that's going to have to be a guy who's...
Worked
who's
with him once before, Fred.
Yeah. Well,
maybe magic can happen twice with Jamie Collins here. Yeah.
Well, Jamie Collins is a convenient name because we all know it. But in reality, he's just a journeyman now who you picked up off of clearing waivers.
You know what? They need help. They need help a lot of places. And if Jamie Collins can come in and help for 20% of the time,
if he can, great. He can. But good defenses aren't going. And, well, maybe the guy that the Lions cut is going to come in and change everything.
And also, getting back to the caller, he's upset that Patriots didn't look good and they won anyway. And we suck. I think Patriots fans have to put aside style points from now on. I think every win, the Patriots aren't, they beat the Jets, but they weren't impressive doing it. I think that, you're not going to see games where you come out of it and look, oh my God, they were awesome. Beginning to end, they blew away a good team. Those days are gone. You just are very happy they won a game, like yesterday. You're very happy that they won a game, and you move on.
But they can be better than that.
They can
That's the
be,
thing. I look at Tampa Bay game.
Well,
they're not going to be a team where you look at and go, wow, that was overly impressive. All these wins are going to be ugly.
All right. Well, anyone have any faith that they're going to beat Dallas?
I don't think it's an absolute. But the Dallas is going to win.
Well, it's not an absolute. Of course, it's not an absolute.
Dallas is one of those teams that also finds a way of getting in their own way sometimes.
Well, except this year, where they're 4-1.
Yeah, exactly. And I know their coach isn't the best in the world, but he's certainly not this idiot from the Texans that's putting in the helmets and not going for it on 4th-and-2 with your crap team. Which is, I said to everyone that was watching the game, I go, this guy's going to miss this field goal. I go, someone behind him might get it.
Same record as the Chiefs, Fred.
Well, the Chiefs don't have a defense. So the Chiefs have their own issues.
They're awful.
Yeah, the Chiefs don't have a defense. So, yeah, you're the same record as the Chiefs. The Chiefs are a lot of trouble.
Key guys on offense who got hurt last night.
The Chiefs are a lot of trouble. So let's not, if you're comparing yourself to the Chiefs, both of these teams, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm scared S-less. I don't like what's going on. All right, we'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.